Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Ever wanted to leap tall buildings, uphold the law, solve a crime, but just don't have the time?
Go!
Tune in to Joy 94.9, Wednesdays from midday,
when Victoria Police gay and lesbian liaison officers
Gabby and Scott
ask for your help in solving crime.
Victoria Police GLOWS, Crime Stoppers, the Anti-Violence Project and Joy 94.9 working together to help make our community safe.
Welcome to the Vic Police GLOW Show with Scott Davis, Gabby Tyack and I'm Greg Atkins.
You are, and I'm Scott Davis, and that's Gabby Tyack.
And I'm Gabby Tyack, and that's Scott Davis, and you're Greg Atkins.
What a brilliant start to the show. Look, so you, professional.
You can spot the uniform, people.
Well, today, Greg, on the show, we will be talking to our long-lost comrade, Electra Wellens, about some community safety and how to keep your house safe against crime, theft from your house, theft from your car, theft from everywhere, basically.
And brilliant.
Yeah, well, it's something that we all need to know and something that we all live in some kind of residential building, and we need to know how to protect ourselves because there are a lot of thefts from homes that go on all around the country and all around the state. And we've also got someone else who we're speaking to.
Yeah, as well as Electra Wellens, we'll be speaking to Delia Quigley. Now, Delia is from the Australian Federal Police and she's in Sydney this week, but last week she was in Melbourne running a gay and lesbian liaison officer course for members of the Australian Federal Police. And we had Gabby go along and help them out with a little bit of their training. So we'll talk to Delia about how all that went as part of the show today.
That's pretty exciting. Brilliant work they do.
Yeah.
Federal Police.
Yeah. And it's different work. And the GLOWS do a different job. So it'll be interesting to hear from Delia, because Delia is the head of the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers within the Australian Federal Police. It's actually an elected position. So it is a bit of a different thing. We'll have a bit of a chat to her about all of that.
Now, stay with us. So much jam-packed into the Vic Police GLOWS show. It's a partnership show between you, the listener, Victoria Police, Crime Stoppers, Joy 94.9, the Anti-Violence Project. Don't go away. Stay with us on Joy 94.9. A little bit of music for you now. Not sure what it is, but it'll be brilliant on Joy 94.9.
Well, Vic Police News today is all about the anniversary of the Black Saturday fires, which occurred 3 years ago yesterday. The third anniversary was marked by memorial services held over the weekend to remember the 173 people who lost their lives when horrific fires swept across the state. Do you remember where you were on that day 3 years ago,
Greg? I was actually behind the panel. We had Detour's show. We'd all woken up in the morning and a flurry of phone calls between each other. And we said we've got to be talking to people, listen to Detours and warn them because it was hot as Hades coming into 7 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning.
It was a frightening day.
Here at Joy, you could smell the heat in the air as you walked in the door at Joy from outside.
I drove up through Doncaster and looked up into the Yarra Valley and it just did not look good, not look good at all.
And that colour, the sky colour.
I'll never forget that.
It was just amazing. It was like smoky sort of light filtered sort of sky.
Mm. Well, those fires were to become known as the worst in Australia's recorded history on a day that Victoria's temperature soared to 48.4 degrees Celsius and humidity dropped to just 4%. I don't think it's ever been like that before or since, thank goodness. Now, many members of Victoria Police played important roles during the fires, safely evacuating hundreds of people and in the aftermath as the terrible job of sifting through the ashes to identify victims. So, you know, horrible for everybody involved. Now, but unfortunately, yesterday, some stupid person has lit a grass fire in Seymour on the anniversary of this terrible date. Detectives from Seymour Police are appealing for witnesses to a deliberately lit grass fire in Seymour. The grass fire was started around 11:50 a.m. on the eastern side of the Human Freeway near Haywards Road. Police have been told that a vehicle was observed parked on the side of the road just before the fire broke out, and we would like anyone who saw a vehicle at about that time or around that area to contact police or Crime Stoppers with any information, because the fires on Black Saturday, a large proportion of them were deliberately lit, and someone was obviously trying to do the same thing and have become known on the anniversary of that date.
So if you know anything about that fire or any other fires that are deliberately lit, you can get in touch with Crime Stoppers 1-800-333-000, or you can get across to the website crimestoppers.com.au.
It's one of those things you would do without thinking to notify police on this particular occasion. Mm. People are still traumatised. It's only a short time, and people are still traumatised from that. People living in the Seymour area, you know, people near this current grass fire, it brings back thoughts and memories. So it's our duty to protect people.
And, of course, if you're seeing something suspicious when you are out and about, and don't call Crime Stoppers on that occasion. If it's happening then and there, you always call 000.
And if you see something,
say something.
Greg
was going to push some buttons and he didn't.
One thing
we didn't do with our, you know, we are professionals and we did need to back announce the song that was on before the announcements and before that little piece around the Black Saturday fires. The song before then was a cover of the Aerosmith classic from 1977. I'm feeling old because I do remember when that original came out, but that was Walk This Way by the Sugar Babes,
which is pretty good.
Now, we've also got the crime of the week. So that was from Vic Police News. If you want any more information about the Black Saturday stuff, you get across to vicpolicenews.com.au. But we've now got our crime of the week from Crime Stoppers. And on Thursday, the 18th of August 2011, at approximately 7:30 a.m., a man allegedly entered the Lucky 7 convenience store on Station Street, Chelsea, armed with a large knife. He allegedly approached the front counter, threatened a staff member, and made demands for cash from the till. He left the store and drove away in a white station wagon. The man is described as Caucasian, aged in his late teens to early 20s, about 165 centimetres tall, and has a medium build. He was wearing a white T-shirt over a dark hooded top, a grey beanie with a green and red stripe, and sunglasses. We've released images of a man we believe may be able to assist us with our inquiries, and you can see those images at crimestoppers.com.au by searching reference number CA5919.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
Now, we do have Electra Wellens coming on later on today to talk about home safety, but we want to ask you, what have you done to make your home burglar-proof? Now, you can let us know what you've done so that we can pass tips on to others. So we want to know, what have you done to make your home burglar-proof? And we can pass those tips on to others, and we can even run them past our expert crime prevention officer, Electra Wellens, a little bit later on to see what she thinks about them and how good they are.
And you might have a Joy iPhone app, in which case you can use that to send us a message directly from your iPhone app.
It's just multimedia. Unbelievable.
Now, that question again is?
What have you done to make your home burglar-proof?
Fantastic. And we've got a song by Wham to take you through as you mull over answers to that question to send to us here in the studio on Joy 94.9 Vic Police Close Show. And that was Wham! Freedom! And that takes you back, doesn't it? A couple of years. Scotty?
I was back with Aerosmith in 1977. I was never a Wham fan.
Wham was my era. I had the fluoro shirts and in high school with the 80s hairdo.
Well, it was George Michael and Andrew Freeman, wasn't it, the two that formed Wham?
You're looking at me and you're asking me the question and I just said that I've got no idea.
This is 1984. Yeah, Andrew Wrigley.
Wrigley, that's him.
1984.
Yeah.
It's not too bad.
We've got someone on the line who wants to have a chat with us.
Who might that be?
Well, she wants to. We've made her have a chat with us.
Well, remember that question before we bring her on. The question today is how to make your house safe a bit later on the show. Now, to introduce our guest. Oh, don't know what that is.
No, anyway, I don't either.
On our line, we have all the way from Sydney today. Yes. It's Delia. Delia, hello. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks, Greg.
Welcome to Vic Police Flow Show. This is what we've got for you. Do you remember this song, Delia? We've got to ask you a question. Delia's from Australian Federal Police and she is everywhere at the moment. You're in Sydney today. Last week you're in Melbourne and you were doing training for the Federal Police GLOWS last week in Melbourne.
Yes.
What gets you around this nation? How do you manage to build in an amazing work plan like this?
Lots of strategic planning, actually. We have offices all over Australia, obviously, being federal police, and the roles are slightly different to what the Victoria Police do in Victoria, but across Australia we have police officers in the ACT doing a policing role like you would see Victoria policing do in their state, and then when we have people around the country doing different roles that relate to Commonwealth offences and Commonwealth law and stuff like airport policing. So we've got a pretty good GLOW network. We've got over 200 officers in the GLOW network, and we're at a stage now where we've decided that perhaps we should stop doing all our training in Canberra and get out to the to our regional offices so that we can get more people into the classrooms to undertake the GLOW courses.
So all the people that you were training down here in Melbourne last week, are they based in Melbourne or in Victoria?
No, they weren't. Actually, we had seven from Melbourne, one from Adelaide and one from Perth, and then we had two outsiders because we'd like to include people from partner agencies. So we had one from the Commonwealth Human Services Department, which used to be Health and Centrelink and a few of those departments that have now amalgamated now. And we had actually one from the Victoria Police Academy who's involved in dealing with students there. So
yeah,
he's a good interface for people coming into
and
the
that
academy.
And that particular member is also employed, is employed by Victoria Police, but he's on leave without pay from Cheshire Police in the UK.
Yeah, so it was a good chance and an opportunity for us to find out a little bit about what's happening in the UK with their Gay Police Association and what they do. So we had a good classroom with an ability to get perspectives from different people. And, of course, Gabby came in and helped us out as well.
Yeah, I was really privileged to come along for that day and have a sit in on your course for the whole day, and then assisted you in the afternoon with some panel questions for all the people in the room. But when you told me that there were 200 GLOWs in the AFP, I thought, wow, we have to really catch up. VicPol's falling behind. But then you explained, of course, that you're based all over the country and even overseas.
Yeah, yes, that's right. And our GLOWs are doing two roles, actually. There's an external focus on working with the community and serving the community that we're in, no matter where that be. And that could be you finding yourself working with the UN in Timor or working with the Regional Assistance Mission in the Solomon Islands, or you could be at Jervis Bay or working within Canberra. Or alternatively, if we don't work with the community, we're working inside our agency as a support network and a resource for GLBTI personnel within the organisation and as a resource for management as well.
The question there would be, how do you build the GLOW role into each person's performance and their duties?
Okay, well, it's actually built in as a corporate citizenship role. So people are doing their normal work and they take on doing the GLOW function as a corporate citizenship role. Just like in some workplaces, you'll have people taking on additional role as being a harassment contact officer. We're performing that sort of similar function.
So what sort of interactions would they have internally? Can you explain that?
They may have people contacting them to discuss things like inappropriate jokes in the workplace, mm-hmm. bullying, discussing issues about, I want to know a little bit more about this because I've got a friend who is gay, where can I go to find resources? It could be something like, I'm worried about HIV exposure because I got a needle stick injury.
Yep.
Where do I go to deal with that, and what's the appropriate course to deal with that?
I imagine it's also, whilst we don't have an internal focus, we still get a lot of phone calls from gay and lesbian police in Victoria Police. And one of the questions we commonly asked is about coming out within the workplace and how to do that safely. Is that something common for you?
We don't get a lot of questions about coming out as such. Mainly we're a pretty open organisation. We've had the GLOW network in place for 15 and a half years now, and people have an awareness that we are in existence. We advertise for people to come into the organisation. We're part of Pride and Diversity as a and we take part in the Pride and Diversity Workplace Equity Index, and we self-examine and we are compared against that index to see how we're performing, to ensure that we are employer of choice and that people are safe in the workplace. there are occasional pockets of people, you know, saying the wrong thing and doing the wrong thing, as there are within any large organisation. But overall, not a large issue about coming out in the workplace, although we do teach about coming out and have a lot of discussion about coming out and homophobia and those types of subjects within the GLOW training program.
It's great to have that support at work, Delia. But one thing I'm interested in is the Federal Police and Victoria Police are separate entities, but we also work together on some things. So how do you keep up with what's going on with the GLOWs in different states?
Okay, well, it basically comes down to networking and sharing information between key GLOWs and key positions within each state. And recently, late last year, Pride and Diversity had a conference in Sydney, and there were a number of GLOWs came together just prior to that conference, and we sat down at the discussion table and we said, well, how can we do things a little bit better so that we're sharing information and that we're supporting each other and keeping our fingers on the pulse of regarding what's going on with hate crimes or whatever may be an issue within the different jurisdictions. So at that table, we had someone from Victoria Police, Federal Police, New South Wales Police, South Australia and Western Australia. Unfortunately, the Queenslanders and the Northern Territorians and the Tasmanians didn't come to that conference. But we've decided that we're going to do things like have a monthly newsletter so that we can share with each other what's going on and what each agency is doing, and we're working more cooperatively together so that we can better support the overall GLBTI community in the whole of Australia.
Now, I want you to flash back. I mean, AVP has been going here in Victoria, Anti-Violence Project, for 15 years.
Yep.
What was the picture like in the Australian Federal Police 15 years ago?
15 years ago, we started off...
Not that you're old enough to know, Delia, of course.
I'm a spring chicken by heart, but in reality, I'm middle-aged and, you know... 15 years ago, the AFP GLOW network actually started off as a pilot project at City Police Station in Canberra. We had a male and a female officer that had undertaken GLOW training that was conducted for them by New South Wales Police. At the initial beginning of that very project, there had been the murder of a very prominent doctor in the ACT community. He was murdered on his farm at Yast, which is just across the border in New South Wales. And immediately the project came into its own because the community was coming forward and providing information to our two GLOWs at City Station. In fact, one of the offenders came into Canberra and handed himself in to...
That's Delia, all the way from the Australian Federal Police in Canberra. And as you can tell, when the hotline goes, you get put on hold. But we'll have her back very shortly. Just to remind you about Delia, how she's everywhere, we've got this little bit of music, which I managed to find. Don't you love it? Remember this? Johnny Cash, I've Been Everywhere. Now, they are everywhere. Victoria Police and Australian Federal Police work together, but AFP officers are absolutely everywhere, right across the nation.
And doing international deployments as well, as she said, in East Timor and the Solomon Islands.
What we might do is we'll stay with this. We'll get Delia back online. We'll be right back with you. This is the Vic Police GLOW Show.
Now, we have managed to get Delia quickly back on the line from the Australian Federal Police, and she was just before we got put on hold. She was talking about the murder in Yass and how the gay and lesbian liaison officers there in the ACT were starting to get information and it was starting to come into its fore. Was there much more to the story, Delia?
Yeah, what actually occurred is one of the two brothers that were involved in that murder actually handed themselves into one of our officers and then they were extradited into New South Wales and obviously faced the charges in the court where they were convicted for the murder of Dr. Peter Rowland.
What a great coup that was for them to hand themselves in like that.
Well, I think they were a little bit worried about what could happen if they went to Yass Police. They were a little bit concerned because they were local boys. They thought that perhaps they might have, faced some issues if they handed themselves in there. So they handed themselves into Wayne, and the program obviously was deemed to be a success because it was initially a 3-month pilot program, and it just blossomed and became a full program across the whole of the AFP.
So you've got, you started off with 2 15 years ago and you've got about 200 now.
Yep.
If people in Melbourne or Victoria wanted to contact a gay and lesbian liaison officer within the Australian Federal Police, how would they go about finding out where they were?
They can go online to www.afp.gov.au and obtain the... information on GLOWS online, and they can also ring the AFP switchboard in Melbourne, which I unfortunately don't know the number for off the top of my head.
That's all right. We're a tech-savvy group down here in Melbourne. We can get across to the website.
I'm sure they all are.
Well, Delia, thank you very much for running a fantastic course last week and involving me in it, and I made some really great connections, and I'm hoping over the next few months and years that I'll be working with some of your members.
And thank you so much, and it was great that you were able to come along. It showed some fantastic cooperation between the agencies, and it also gave our guys a little bit of a different perspective regarding what your GLOWS were doing out there in the community and some of the great stuff that you're doing.
Now, if you want any more information about Australian Federal Police gay and lesbian liaison officers, get across to afp.gov.au and you can do a search there for GLOWS.
You're on the Vic Police GLOW Show. Our guest was Delia from the Australian Federal Police GLOWS. And stay with us. Much more to come on the Vic Police GLOW Show.
Real people, real topics. Joy 94.9.
Shout to the top here on Joy 94.9. That was a particular request of one manager of the gay and lesbian liaison advisory office.
I have to say that I'm a big fan, but it was on the list there. It wasn't like I just said, let's play that song.
Hey, we always play Style Council.
It was chosen for us.
Yeah, and it's fabulous track, goes back a few years.
It does. Yeah. So I've got the full box set of the Style Council. It's a great fight. Like, there's about, I think there's 5 or 6 CDs, everything they ever did.
Now, this is the Vic Police GLOW Show with Scott Davis, manager of the Gay and Lesbian Advisory
Hang
Office.
Hang on. I was talking about the Style Council and you just cut me off.
I did.
On that note,
Greg Atkins, Community Violence Project, and Gabby Tyke is a Northwest Region GLOW, and we've got another crime stopper.
At about 4:20 a.m. on the 19th of June last year, a victim was at her home on Gertrude Street in Sunshine when she heard a cat crying outside. The victim went outside and found a man standing outside her home holding the cat. He rushed towards the victim and allegedly stabbed her using an unknown weapon before running off. The man is described as Caucasian, aged in his mid-20s, 173 centimetres tall, has a thin build and reddish-brown hair. He was wearing a red shirt, blue pants and white runners. Now, we've released an image and a face image of a man whom we believe may be able to assist us in our inquiries. So we've got an image from CCTV somewhere nearby and also an image that the victim put together.
With an artist.
Yes, that's right.
Now, it's worth checking out because in the image from CCTV nearby, the image there has a white hat with a brim.
It's a Trilby tight hat.
Yeah.
It is.
Now, if he's going to wear a hat once, he's likely to wear a hat quite often. It's part of his style, if you like, following on from Style Council. It's part of how he likes to present himself. You will recognise this man. There's no doubt that you would have seen him wearing a hat or a similar hat at other times.
And he could
be
dressed like that today because it's a cold day in Melbourne, even though it's summer, and he was wearing this outfit in winter, so he still could be wearing the clothes today. So
if you want to see those photos, you can get across to crimestoppers.com.au and type in reference number CA5858.
Now, he's got reddish hair. They say mid-20s. I'm going to put a guess on the table here today. I reckon he's actually early 20s. And I just think he's someone that's a bit more muscular. So he could be a gym person, early 20s. Check it out.
Yes, have a look at it. Now, we've also got a wanted. We're looking for Benedict or Ben Bryson Sutherland. And he has a date of birth of 12th of February 1986. He's 185 centimetres or 6'1" tall. He's of a solid build, brown eyes, brown hair and fair complexion. It's alleged that Sutherland was involved in a criminal damage at South Bank in February 2011 and a warrant for his arrest has been issued. And you can, if you have any information about Ben Sutherland, you can give us a call on 1-800-333-000 or get across to crimestoppers.com.au.
Now remember, if you see something,
say something.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
This is the Vic Police Close Show with the Victoria Police Partnership with Joy 94.9, Crime Stoppers, the Anti-Violence Project, and you, especially you, because this actually hinges on your participation.
And we've got a very special guest on the line, which is leading Senior Constable Electra Wellens, who's a crime prevention officer out at Caroline Springs.
Hello, strangers.
Strangers in the night.
That's it. It's been a while.
It has been a
now,
while.
Now, where's Caroline Springs?
It's way out west. That's why you don't know it.
How far out west?
Well, actually, we're before Melton and just after Deer Park. You should come out and visit us one day.
I think I will. Has it got a kettle and a scone?
More than that, very flash station here. Very flash indeed.
Electric train or steam?
Does the train even go there?
You'd be surprised. If you took a drive out here and saw the main street, you'd fall over backwards as the infrastructure that's actually here.
It's a fairly new station, isn't it, Electra?
Yeah, it's about, I think it's going on to 5 years now, though.
Okay.
Time's ticking by.
Now, what particular things make your community different way out west in the developing suburbs, you know, rapidly rising suburbs?
Yeah, look, it's probably really interesting. I think Caroline Springs, and I cover, as a crime prevention officer, I actually cover Brimbank and Melton areas, so those council areas. And I would have to say probably the most diverse, multicultural group of people in Victoria. 5 years ago, there was over 90 different people from different nationalities, I should say, 90 different nationalities. That was 5 years ago. We were waiting the new census reports to come out to actually see where we sit now as far as the diversity that's actually out here. So it's a very unique area and has very challenging policing demands.
Now, the reason we've got you on today is we wanted to talk about residential security, how people can keep themselves safe around their home. And we did ask the question at the top of the show, what have you done to make your home burglar-proof? And we've had text in from Chris from Collingwood, I think it was.
Yep. Yes, and his message was he keeps his hedges trimmed.
What do you think about that as a security tip? Is it a good one?
It is. It's really important because often enough, especially when you plant particular plants, that they can soon grow when you don't look at the tag. It actually grows to 5 metres plus.
But why is that a problem?
Well, it's actually what we call under crime prevention through environmental design. It's called a sight line. And it's really important to have clear sight lines. And that is that you can see other people and other people can see you. So it becomes like a natural sort of environment for people to look after one another. If you've got a bush that's obscuring a window, it provides cover for someone to actually break into your house. It's also a fire hazard as well. So there's a lot of reasons of why you should keep your hedges trimmed.
Now I know why. When I lived in Ringwood, I had a row of trees sort of breaking the view from the front so people couldn't look in the front of my house. But now I know probably why I got burgled that time, because it would have provided a pocket for people to hide in.
Yeah, and also an entrapment area as well. So in other words, someone could be hiding there to actually jump out as well. So that's why we call line of sight. If you're standing up, that you can naturally see across quite readily. And of course, if you're reversing your car out of a driveway and you've got a hedge or the bushes are quite high, you can't actually see a small child walking past as well. So there's a whole variety of safety applications for
now,
that.
Now, we're going to give a whole lot of tips in the next 10 minutes about what you can do around your home to make it safer. But rather than people who might be driving along, say, oh, I've got to pull over and write down some notes, or people at home running around trying to find pen and pencil, there's actually a resource the Victoria Police has put out that can help people. Can you tell us about that, Electra?
Absolutely. It's online and it's readily available for both residential purposes and also for business. And that's found on police.vic.gov.au, our website, under community safety. And if you click on to community safety, it actually brings in a whole pile of different lists, which is really interesting for anyone to access. I really encourage you to take a look when you've got some spare time to have a look. So if you went down to home and property and clicked on home and property, it brings up an information kit where you can actually, the kit's laid out where you can do a whole self-assessment of your own home. In other words, it's like a box list where you can tick yes or no to a question, and we actually provide the answers at the rear of how you need to make those improvements if you've ticked no and it doesn't comply.
So that's available for both residential and for businesses.
That's right.
So what sort of things are in there that people would be looking at? We've started to mention a few, keep your hedges trimmed and that sort of stuff. What would be the logical things?
Yeah, so that one would fall under like landscaping, security lighting. We talk about your garage and garden sheds, how important that is to actually lock those doors, windows.
But you talk about garden sheds. What's the you've got to make sure tools are put away. Is there an issue with the tools lying around?
There sure is, because it becomes a readily, number one, tools cost quite a lot, first of all. So the theft of that is advertising. But also that tool can then quickly be used to smash or jimmy open a window or a door as well. So it's used by an offender to actually get in as well. So that there's sort of twofold. One is the cost and replacement of that, mm-hmm. of the tool, and also how it can then be used to actually do damage to a property as well.
Now, Electra, when I'm looking at my house and ways to make it safe and burglar-proof, I try to think like a criminal. Like I was walking down the street, down a residential street, and looking at all the houses and thinking, you know, which one's the best one for me to break into. Mm. So then I put it back on myself and think, well, what can I do to my house to make sure it's not the one that that person chooses?
Yeah, that's right, Gabby. And it's all about having a plan or imagining yourself doing something. And you're spot on. We talk about that for safety, but it's great to actually twist it around and look at how often people leave opportunities and they aren't using common sense. In fact, I'd ask the question to you guys sitting there today, where do you think most valuables are stolen from your car?
I'm going to guess, because we're talking about this topic, from the driveway of a house.
Exactly. Most people actually think it's a shopping centre or railway stations, but it's not.
Or beach car parks, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that sort of thing. But it's actually their own driveways, and this includes theft of motor vehicles as well. What that's actually telling us is people are getting very compliant. They pull up into the driveway, they're home, they feel safe, they just shut the door, they don't actually lock their doors. So someone just can walk down the street, and before you know it, they're in 10 or so cars and stealing in our car as
well. So there's that complacency that comes with just regularity. This is my driveway, it's a safe place. I'm just going to pull in here and I'm going to go inside and I'm not going to worry about locking it.
And it's the same thing with windows and doors, and that's why someone, if they're an offender, are going to pick an easier target. If they don't have to smash a window to draw attention to themselves and there's an open window, they're going to choose that every time.
Well, how many people have a locked front door but they leave the back door unlocked?
That's right. And, and in particular, if they're home and out in the garden, how that doors are left open or windows are left open because you're out in the backyard.
I can't tell you how many house burglaries I've been to where somebody's been gardening in the backyard and left the front door unlocked.
Yep.
And the criminal has just walked in through the front door and helped themselves to the drawers inside the bedroom, walked out with jewellery and all sorts of stuff.
That's right.
What makes us different, though? I mean, places like Canada, there's evidence now with policing in Canada that shows many people don't even bother locking their houses because they feel relatively safe.
Mm.
So how much of theft takes place, there's actual theft and people will do it anyway, and how much is about fears of being unsafe?
Well, now, look, we've got things that, as policing, and, you know, it just used to be the old go down to a second-hand goods store and cash in goods. But now, if you notice in shopping centres, there's jewellery places, gold places that will weigh your gold. So again, jewellery becomes an easy target for people when they can readily get cash back for it. So those turning around, and also eBay, how that actually sources as a problem as well. So technology is going against us, so we need to be more vigilant about these things to not actually make it easy for someone. It is your home, and of course, if you're taking out insurance, your insurance policy, it's really important. They ask you a question, do you have deadlocks? Do you have window locks? They ask you all these questions to bring down your insurance because you should be using them. So we really try and say to people, please remain vigilant around the house and just put the snips across when you're using it. Don't leave the keys in the door. But to make yourself vigilant, it's like wearing a seatbelt. If you wear a seatbelt all the time, if you hop in a car and you don't have it on, you feel instantly uncomfortable. And it's the same thing around your home. You need to be vigilant about windows and doors all the time.
And Electra, some of these crimes are really planned out, but a lot of them are also opportunistic. And that's why we tell you to, when your car's in the driveway or in the garage, to lock it and to keep your windows closed and your doors locked, because someone who is wandering down the street might just happen to see, oh, well, there's a car there. I wasn't planning to do it, but it's open and I'm going to check if there's anything in there worth stealing.
Yeah, spot on, Gabby. And this is what most theft is about. It's opportunistic. If it's there and it's easy, people can't, it happens in the workplace as well. If it's irresistible, the temptation, or is it going to be easy to get away with it, people, it's human nature, people tend to do it.
So windows are a weak point. What can we do for windows?
Windows are really important that, one, that either you have, you can either have a security grill on that, but to be mindful of a fire exit as well. You might deadlock something, but how do you get out? So you need to be mindful of. So we encourage you to actually put locks on them. Don't leave the keys in them, because even though they smash a window, they can't actually open that window or a sliding door, hence patio bolts on glass doors as well are really good. So, you know, the old banging a nail in, don't do that. Actually buy a lock, a proper lock.
What's the best brand?
Well, I can't say for that.
I knew that.
But there's a variety of different brands available, and most hardware stores can offer you a variety of different ones. Another really good one is actually have them what's called keyed the same. So all your windows operate off one lock. So you don't have the whole pile of different locks. The same for your doors as well. So your security door and your front door can actually be keyed the same. So you're not left holding a whole bunch of keys as well.
So if there's a soft option in the street and everyone else has got their doors locked, taken the precautions, done the safety checks, perhaps even got their products marked, the soft option in the street is usually the one that will get targeted first.
Yeah, absolutely. So we really encourage people to take photo of their valuables, jewellery, because that helps police in actually writing down a description. If we have a photo of it, we can circulate that, and there's more chance of actually the recovery of those. So it's really important to take a photo. And we always say this, don't just store it on your computer or your laptop, because it actually might be stolen. So put it somewhere else on a USB stick or somewhere else where it's safe and it's secure as well.
Now, we'll just finish up with one last thing. Intruder alarms, worth it or not?
Absolutely. It's interesting, though, for intruders alarm, the public perception, expectation about how we actually respond to those as police. And the most important thing is police will not respond to just an audible alarm. People are under a misconception if they think police will respond to that, but actually needs to go back to a monitored service before we actually respond to those, due to the amount of false alarms as well.
So when you're talking about an audible alarm, that's one that goes off and then it relies on the neighbours to call the police.
Yeah. Yep.
We don't attend to those. We will only respond to ones that are monitored by a security service.
That's spot on. That's what needs to happen.
That's really important to get that across.
Yeah.
Electra, it's been a pleasure as always.
Fantastic. Well, thank you again for this opportunity, and hopefully I can pop back in and be in person instead of over the phone, but thanks again for the opportunity.
Yeah, wait for the invite, though.
Yeah, I will.
You're on the Vic Police Glow Show. That was Electra Wellens, Way Out West.
But you can get across to the Vic, what's it called? police.vic.gov.au, the website there, and all that information about residential security and business security kits is available on that website.
This is the Vic Police Glow Show with Scott Davis, Gabby Tyke and Greg Atkins.
And our final crime for the day. At around 10:25pm on the 23rd of October last year, a male was sitting at a bus stop on Mason Street, Newport, when he was approached by another male. A brief exchange took place and the man left, only to return a few minutes later with a second man. Armed with a broken bottle, he allegedly threatened the victim and made demands for cash. The two men forced the victim to withdraw cash from a nearby ATM before assaulting him and stealing his mobile phone. The first offender is described as Caucasian, 23 years old, 5'10" tall, has brown hair, a thin build, a pointy nose and freckles. He was wearing a white singlet, grey shorts, a hoodie and a white baseball cap. The second man is described as 20 to 22 years old, 5'8" tall, has short black hair, a solid build and was dark-skinned and wearing a dark blue T-shirt and dark blue cargo shorts. We've released images of the two men whom we believe may be able to assist us with our inquiries, and you can see those at crimestoppers.com.au, quoting reference CA6006.
Now, just before we go, Gabby, we've had another message.
Yes, this is from Chris, Craig and Ali the Cat from Richmond. Great show. It's comforting to know that there are combined state and federal efforts to look after GLBTI concerns and issues. And he's also said, I've found one of the simplest ways to provide a bit of additional home security, deterrent and peace of mind are those sensor lights. Reasonably cheap and quite effective.
Yep, and I have to agree with that.
Thanks, Chris. Great suggestions. Now, you can check out all the Crime Stoppers, all the interviews with Electra Wellens and also with our Australian Federal Police friend, Delia, on joy.org.au later on today or later on tonight.
Yep.
And we'll see you next week on the Vic Police Glow Show.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.